to the teaching ministry of Pastor Jay Eberle. Get ready to be empowered through the understanding of God's Word.
But 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 10, it says, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure." To make your calling and election sure. For they that, if you do these things, he said, you shall never fall. And if you look at the context, he talks about different characteristics that we add to our faith, you know. Verse 5, add to your faith virtue and knowledge and temperance and so forth. He talks a lot about character and so forth. And then he talks about make your calling and election sure by doing these things. And so I want to talk to you tonight. Now, when he says calling an election there, he's talking about what we're called to. And, you know, he can't be just talking about fivefold ministry because he's talking to all believers here. We are all called to do something for God. I said we're all called to do something for God. You know, if you're in helps minister and you're a door greeter, you're called to do something for God. Even if you're not, you're called to the ministry of reconciliation, you know. Being a part of spreading the gospel and so forth and so on. There's a lot of other things we can see in the Bible. But here he's talking about whatever God's put in your heart, whatever his assignment on you is, that could be just called to be a good support of a local church, you know, helping get people into the local church, be a tither and fund the local church, helps ministry. You realize all these things are what we're called to. But whatever it is, whatever your function is, it might not be equal to somebody else's supply, you understand. But right on the other hand, all of us should give equal diligence to whatever we are to supply and equal level of consecration. Amen. Equal commitment to fulfilling the will of God. Amen. And equally fight to manifest that will, the will of God, in our lives. Amen. You know why people don't stay with what God wants them to do for their life? They don't stay with it because they don't fight to keep things off of it. Distractions off of it. You know, there's a lot that can distract you. How many of you, maybe you don't know. I'm a pastor, I know. In the summertime, people get distracted because the weather's nice. And church attendance sometimes is not as good as it was. In the wintertime, they can't do anything outside. Well, I guess we'll go to church. You don't know that because you're not pastoring, but that's the reality of most churches in America. Well, see, what we're called to do is consecrate to make sure God's will comes to pass. Notice he says in this verse, he talks about give diligence to make your calling and election sure. That's just another way of saying that is make sure that whatever you're called to, it's not in danger of going unfulfilled and you're not AWOL. You know what AWOL is? In the military, you get AWOL, you're in trouble.
Yes, sir.
Well, God's a merciful God, yet right on the other hand, AWOL cuts us off from really what God's trying to do in our life. So he's saying, give diligence. Hallelujah. I learned some things about me in Russia. God's helping me in some things because God's moving us into some more things in ministry. That's a lot of the things we were doing in Russia. But right on the other hand, I'm just going to be flat honest with you. Not that I'm not usually, but I just wanted to tell you that I have never, we've gone to Russia twice now. Both times going to Russia, there was tremendous bombardment against my mind. I don't want to go to Russia. You know, I'm talking about the flesh. Now, that's not something I emphasize. See, you haven't heard me talk about it because I don't walk around talking about, oh, the price is so high. What God's called me to do is so hard. The will of God is so hard. I don't walk around talking like that. And if you get your mind renewed, you won't either. So I'm not saying it tonight because of any of the I'm talking out of great suffering or great hardship or, you know, it's so hard to do the will of God or anything. I'm just simply explaining it to you. So maybe if you're going through something like this, you'll not think you're strange, but you'll just know what to do with it.
Amen.
But I had to cast down almost sometimes moment to moment. I don't want to go all that way. I mean, that's a long flight. I mean, there's a lot of weariness in the flesh. And, you know, there's a lot of time change. Every day, they say, it takes you, if you're out, every hour difference in time change, it takes you a day to regain that, you know, your clock to kind of reset, your internal clock. Well, if you're going over there, 8 hours difference, actually. It takes 8 hours for your clock to reset. About the time it's almost reset, then you got to come back. So you're laying there in bed like this at night trying to go to sleep. You know what I'm talking about? And just the flesh gets pressed. And I'm not saying that to complain, because in all reality, every time that when God puts something in our heart to do and the flesh says, I don't want to do that. Anybody here know what I'm talking about? For you, it might just be Wednesday night church. Now, I'm preaching to you. You're here, so getting down on you. But my point is, there's things that the will of God is not always comfortable on the flesh. But see, you and I need to learn to not ask the flesh what our flesh wants to do. We ought to count it a joy. See, it's a dishonor to the one who called us to always be grumpy about what he's asking us to do. Dishonorable. To always talk about it, it's so hard. Well, how many of you know Jesus could have said in the Garden of Gethsemane, it's just so hard, the cross, dying, being crucified, getting a crown of thorns on my head, a spear at my side. It's just too much. He could have said that, and you and I'd be going to hell today. Don't talk like that to him, because he's the one that paid the great price. What he asked us to do is minor. Small compared to what what he did for us. Well, I did it. I'm already preaching myself happy. So, but anyway, every time that some of those things come up, I always answer them. Whenever the flesh is just like, I don't want to do that. I'm not talking about living in the flesh, but I'm talking about the flesh will rise up if you're not careful. And so I kept answering. When we got there, I'm like, this happens every time, because there's always a press. You got to press through all that and keep unwillingness and disobedience off and answer it. Hello? You got to fight for the will of God to come to pass. The will of God won't come to pass automatically, because your flesh is always going, you know, not just. We're not living in the flesh. We're not living out of what our flesh wants. Let me rephrase that. I'm not. How about you? I know you. I'm just messing with you. But the point is that every time I press through that and I get into the plan, then my spirit catches fire. I get answers, direction, help. I mean, I even came home with more financially than I left with. What? On a mission trip. The flesh is a baby.
Yeah, it's true.
And it'll keep you out of what God's trying to get you into.
That's right. That's right. Yes, it will.
Amen. The willing and obedient will eat the good of the land. He's trying to bless us. I mean, I'm telling you, the will of God is where the supply is. The will of God is where direction is. The will of God is where you are not laboring on your own. You're laboring with him, and he'll put you over in situations that have come up. The will of God is the greatest, and I'll be honest with you, one of the greatest rewards of being obedient to the will of God and loving it and doing it willingly and with joy, not with grumpiness. One of the greatest rewards is not what you get or what God gives you, but what he makes you.
Yes, sir.
Oh, you don't understand what I just said. I mean, what he makes you is he makes you a vessel of honor. He prepares you to carry a greater anointing. He makes you a greater blessing to other people. He turns you, and he works things in you that are more Christ-like.
Yes, amen.
And he turns you into somebody that you weren't before. That's one of the greatest rewards of just being faithful, just sticking with what God said do. Is you change. I'm going to say it again. One of the greatest rewards is not for obedience, is not what God gives you, it's what He makes you. It's not what you get, it's what you become. Oh, you got to know it. I mean, rough edges get knocked off when you stay in the will of God. And you become more of a vessel of honor, like the Bible says. What is a vessel of honor? It's able to contain more of the anointing and the glory of God. You become a vessel that God can, you become a go-to person for God. God said, here's somebody that's faithful. I can use them for more honorable things. They won't take the glory to themselves. Because everything I tell them to do, they say, Lord, I yield myself to you. And it knocks the pride out. It knocks the self-will out. It knocks the all that stuff out. And now I'm a vessel more worthy of more of His glory. And He can count on me more. He can fill me with more glory. And use me for more honorable things. And woo, man. Are you still out there? You're going home. But you've got to fight to fulfill the will of God, because the enemy and the flesh will gang up on you and say, you don't much want to do that. No sir, no ma'am, that's not me. Missionary, nope, not somebody else.
Yeah, right.
Amen.
Amen.
God has begun to speak to me about being a part of this team that's going over there, and we're going to start doing it more.
Yeah, amen, that's right, amen. Amen.
I'm not saying that out of my flesh.
Come on.
My flesh is a homeboy, you know what I'm talking about? Yes, sir. But see, I'm not living out of my flesh. I've gotten real comfortable in Eastern Iowa. I'm just like, woohoo, God's good. I can preach on Sunday and Wednesday, and I'm just doing good. How you doing? Doing good, doing good. But God's calling for more. He's asking for more. He's asking us to go more. Hallelujah. And I, for one, am not going to dishonor Him by being grumpy about it. Hello? Being unwilling, being all dramatic. Oh, it's so hard. The will of God is so hard. See, remember when Jesus was, let me say it this way. The more you grow spiritually and move away from all that it's so hard stuff, and you just do it willingly and obediently, and you do it joyfully. Amen. Are you still out there? The more you grow spiritually, the more you'll develop a distaste for all that hardness.
That's so true.
I mean, you won't even like it anymore. It's dishonorable. How many of you know it's a great delight? Remember it says in Psalm 40, I don't remember the verse, maybe verse 7, I'd have to look it up. I probably have it written here somewhere. It says, I delight to do thy will, O God. I delight to do thy will, O God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I delight. Say that out loud.
I delight
to do thy will, O God. We were talking about around one of the dinner tables about, just limitedly about some of this, about the great effort it takes to get all the way over there and so forth and so on, and the expense and so forth and so on, and all that. We were talking about it. But it's the will of God. We all knew in our hearts the will of God.
Amen.
It's the will of God. So we delighted in it. We all agreed. We delighted in this. But then Pastor Nancy, she came to the next, I think it was breakfast next morning or whatever it was, and she made this statement. She said, you know, the Lord, I was thinking about that when we went to our rooms, and she said, the Lord spoke to me and said, don't call it a trip to Russia. Call it the will of God. And I thought about something. I thought about the time whenever I told the story here about the time we went on the road, because God started calling us on the road ministry before we came here to pastor. And we traveled all over the United States. I mean, just going constantly. Actually, at one point, we didn't even have a place to live in Tulsa. We gave it up for, what was that, 3 months or 4 months or something like that? Because we were gone so much. It's like, why pay rent? We found out later that was a mistake. But anyway. 6 months plus. Anyway, so we were just going. And I did that for a year, came home for Christmas for, I guess it was maybe 3 weeks or so there at the end of December. You know, started getting real comfortable sitting still again. And then, you know, the January's coming. I'm starting to, I got to go out there again. And I didn't recognize it at first. You grow spiritually, you recognize things a little bit more. And I started to get unwilling and I started to become reluctant. And, you know, I don't know if I want to get out there again. We got on the road that first meeting up the Highway 44 out of Tulsa, getting up into Missouri to go in our first meeting. And I wouldn't have told you this, but I was grumpy. I was grumpy. My flesh is just like, I don't want to get out here again like this. Just go, go, go. Different bed every night. Eating in restaurants that, you know, you'd just rather not eat all that, whatever they got in there, you know. Just rather choose your own food. You just all that stuff. And so, but I'm just grumpy. And the Lord began to speak to me. She fell asleep. The Lord began to speak to me. And he said to me, you're angry at me. You know, when the Lord says something, you don't disagree with him or argue with him. Like, I'm not angry at you. It doesn't work. He said, you're angry at me. I said, yeah. Whenever he said it, he brought it home. I realized that. He said, you think I knocked you down a notch because we had been in healing school and so forth, and now we're out here on the road. And he wasn't done. He just kept hitting me low blows.
Yeah.
But see, I needed worked over. Because it's not just the obedience that gets the blessing, it's the willingness and the obedience.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
See, I'm talking about me, but apply what I'm saying to you in your life.
Yes, sir.
And so he began to work me over, and he said, you know, you've been unwilling. That's why you struggled so much in the first year financially. You were unwilling. And he began to talk to him about some things. I'm just driving, and I'm like, Lord, forgive me, forgive me. I said, Lord, I repent. What do you want me to do? He said, you holler at the top of your voice right here, right now. She's sleeping. I had to wake her up to do it. But see, God was more interested in getting us willing than he was her sleeping.
Yeah, amen.
He said, you say at the top of your voice, and I'm quoting that verse, I delight to do thy will, O God, yea, thy law is within my heart. I hollered it three times.
Yeah.
And when I did, the third time, something down in here broke. And the joy of the Lord started bubbling up, and I got over into willingness. See, you can do it just like that. It's an attitude adjustment. Anybody have children or have had children? Okay, right now, you straighten up. You can get that adjustment made.
Yes, sir. Amen. Absolutely.
Yes, Daddy. And you make them do it right there. Tell your neighbor, maybe you didn't know you could make the attitude adjustment real quick. Now, some of you did it pretty sheepish because you said it to your spouse, but amen. Praise the Lord. So I made the adjustment and something broke and I got willing and then we started moving and started going.
Amen.
We started succeeding and prospering and so forth and so on. But anyway, what I was talking about was Pastor Nancy made the statement, don't say it's a trip to Russia, say it's the will of God. Say it's the will of God. And I remembered how the Lord said to me, he said, I delight to do thy will. He didn't say I delight to travel in road ministry. He said, say, I delight to do thy will. And that was the will of God. And the will is what we're to emphasize. Not the this or the that. It's whatever the will of God is. That's what we're to emphasize. And that's what we're to fulfill. The will of God. The will of God. Not the will of our flesh. But the will of God. Am I preaching all right tonight? You have to fight to keep unwillingness off and the devil and the lust of your own flesh off of the will of God. It's just like tithing. You know why people don't tithe or obey God in giving or something like that? Because they don't fight to keep needs off of their tithe.
Yeah, come on.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
They don't fight that.
Right.
They don't fight that fight.
Right. Come on.
They just allow needs to take the tithe.
Yeah.
Or whatever. You got to fight for the tithe and say, no, this is holy. This is consecrated to the Lord. I won't touch it. I won't eat it. I won't dip into it. I won't borrow from it. I'm going to pay it. I'm going to bring it. And the devil can't have it. Needs can't have it. Baby needing a new pair of shoes can't have it. The mortgage can't have it. Nothing can have it because I fight.
Amen.
to hold on to the tithe. I mean, I'm talking about to bring it to God. You know, not let the devil steal it. Fight to keep the needs off the tithe. Well, you got to do the same thing with the will of God. You got to answer. We talk about answering thoughts and so forth. Answer unwillingness. Hello? Answer those thoughts. I don't much want to do that. You know, I'm tired of helping in the children's church. You know, I've been doing that for years. It's somebody else's turn. Where'd that come from? If you're not guarded in your thought life, the enemy will get you over into all kinds of decision-making that is not based on a leading. Yeah. It's based on just being bored or unconsecrated.
Exactly. Come on.
Amen. Hallelujah. So the devil is after the will of God for your life. I said the devil is after the will of God for your life. Protect it. Not just with words, speaking, answering the thoughts that come, but protect it with consecration. Because this verse here is saying to us, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. What he's saying is, a lack of diligence, a lack of consecration will make the will of God vulnerable. It'll make it, it'll put it in danger of going unfulfilled. Poke your neighbor and say, you know, maybe he's talking to somebody behind us. I don't know, but the will of God doesn't happen automatically. Because it's the will of God or because he spoke it to you. You gotta, and I gotta act on that will. And the will of God, God doesn't ask us to do things or speak to us and say, hey, do you have the money to do this? When he told me to go to Reshet Abakan again, I'm like, praise the Lord. Well, see, it came for the first one. The supply is not for... How many of you know he said, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. Well, somebody said, well, I don't have the money, so I can't do what God said. Well, the supply is for the need, and until you step out, you don't have a need. And so the supply doesn't show up because you don't have the need. You got to create the need, and then the supply will show up. What do you mean create the need? Commit to do the will of God and start taking steps toward it. Well, take steps toward it when I don't have the money? If God told you to do it and God told you to do it, I'm not talking about pulling something out of the air and making something up out of your head. But God actually spoke to you and said, this is my will for you. I want you to do it. Even if you don't have the funds, you got to start using your faith and acting in faith because the supply will hit the faith and hit the actions of obedience and meet that need that the actions and steps of faith will create. The supply won't meet you back here sitting in Waitville. I'm just going to wait on the Lord. I'm going to wait for all the money to come in. I'm going to wait for God to do it. I'm going to wait to see. That's not what faith is like. Faith doesn't act that way. Faith says, God said it. Here we go. Somebody said, I don't have the faith for it. Well, you better get busy developing it, honey. What have you been doing to develop it? I remember somebody years ago said they didn't have the faith to tithe. And then after 5 years or so, they still didn't have the faith to tithe. All hell was breaking loose in their life. But I said, what have you been doing in those 5 years to develop faith? Well, nothing. That's called being willingly ignorant. It's one thing to not have faith. It's another thing to not do something to get it. Well, I didn't mean to get mad at anybody. I'm not angry at anybody. I'm just simply saying, these are things, I'm pointing a lot of this towards myself tonight. Hello. Praise the Lord. God's good. See, you got to protect the will of God. It's not about money. It's about the will of God. You and I are not to be focused on money. We're to be focused on the will of God coming to pass. Amen.
Amen.
One of the things the Lord said to me, he said, I've said that you're in the third phase. I said, yeah. This is all in the LAX airport. There's a hotel right there. I said, yeah. He said, well, how are you going to get into it if you just keep pastoring only?
All right. Come on.
When I say go and I open the door,
then go.
Well, Lord, I need a bigger base. I need a bigger, and I started talking to him like that. And he said, what about Gideon's 400?
All right, come on.
I'm like, they had 32,000. God whittled them down to 400 just to say, look, it was me, not you. I mean, he hit me all over. I'm black and blue. I don't know if you can see it. Finally, I'm like, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen. Pastor Nancy invited you. Yes. She wants you to be a part of the team. Yes. What are you doing not going? I'm just being vulnerable to you this morning. But see, you need to apply this to your life. And you will become something you never imagined God could make you by just keep stepping out and obeying and doing what he said.
Amen.
You'll become a greater blessing, a bigger funder, or whatever your part is. Hallelujah. But we got to fight to protect the will of God. Not sit back in Waitville. You know what I'm talking about when I say Waitville. Hallelujah. Well, God's good. Hallelujah. So, you know, don't go on and on about the hardship and the, you know, so forth and so on. Say it's a delight to do your will, oh God. Maybe for you it's a night of the week that you'd rather not be doing something else. You'd rather be with your family or something like that. I'm not preaching against spending time with family, you understand. But maybe it's just something that you would like to be doing, but God put something else in your heart, and that's going to take a night of your week or something like that.
Yeah.
We do our best around here not to take up people's time as much as possible. You might notice after Bible school was over, we sort of laid low on a lot of things just so people could, you know, because we were people's schedules was busy, you know, for a long time. But so we're always conscious of that. But say, but what if God's dealing with you about something?
Come on.
You know the old proverb, the old Chinese proverb, you can't keep doing the same thing and expect different results. If you want to get into the greater things God has for you, you're going to have to, you know, start taking some steps of obedience. Well, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so Jesus didn't live his life just always complaining about it being so hard. In fact, the Bible says in Hebrews 12:2 that for the joy that was set before him, he endured all those things. He was looking beyond all that. He's looking at the reward. In other words, he wasn't looking at the price. He's looking at the payoff. And right now, he's in payoff. He is King of kings, Lord of lords. He is all to all people. He's woo, praise the Lord. He's in payoff. Praise God. But here's the thing. The devil will bid high for you. And the more you live in the flesh, the more you're going to talk about how hard it is. People that live in the Spirit, it's not hard at all. Because in the Spirit, everything is easy, including consecration, including, well, I delight to do your will, O God. The suffering, the hardship, the talking about the price that we have to pay and all of that, that's all flesh. I said that's all flesh. Or listening to the flesh, listening to the devil. And see, the devil's bidden high. He wants you to listen to your flesh. He wants you to listen to that voice that comes to you. You don't want to do that. That's not, I mean, you know what, anybody know what I'm talking about,
sir.
That voice that comes to you? And he's bidding high for you. What's he bidding? He's bidding to get you out of God's plan for your life. But here's what I've learned about the devil. Everything he has and he's offering, it never satisfies. It always opens the door to him. And it is always a cheap substitute. It is not the riches of God. It never brings you the rich things of God like obedience, living a life of consecration does. That gets you into more glory, more of his power, more revelation, more you know him better. You're more like him. And it satisfies you in a deep way down in your spirit that nothing else could ever satisfy. Plus, God's blessings are on that. He'll supply all your need. You know, God's thinking, he has more things in mind for us than we even have in mind for ourselves. Well, praise the Lord. The will of God in this era is not going to come to pass through those who are unconsecrated to Him. God's trying. This is the way the Lord said it to me this afternoon. He said, right now, I'm looking for vessels. He said, I'm moving in this new era. I'm ushering in this new era, and I'm looking for vessels. And that's what he's talking to me about in L.A., in the hotel. He said, I'm looking for someone to use. And if you keep saying no to everything I'm trying to get you into, then you disqualify yourself to be a vessel of my power. I didn't tell Pastor Nancy all this. Maybe she'll hear about this. I got to call her tomorrow and say, yes, yes, Abacon, yes, 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 Abacon. Yep. Signed up. Praise the Lord. I'm on. Amen. But he said, I'm looking for vessels. And I need people to work with me to bring the will of God to pass in this era. Yeah. Well, that's true in a local church. God needs people that he can count on that'll show up in obedience, and they delight to do it.
Yeah, amen.
They're not grumpy about it.
Nope.
They're not all sad in their face.
Nope.
They're not talking about how tired they are and how hard it is and the price we got to pay. And what if Jesus would have done that when it came time to redeem us? You know? Praise the Lord. And so he said, I'm looking for vessels, but I need consecrated vessels. And he said, my will only come to pass through those through obedient, consecrated, and believing people. And you choose whether, here's the statement that really got me. You choose whether you're going to be part of what I'm doing in the earth when you choose to consecrate and say yes to what I'm asking you to do. You and I can sit out and let God use other people. God's going to get his will done. He's going to get this great harvest in. He's going to build his church.
Yes, he is. Come on.
He's going to raise up end time revival. He's going to pour out the rain. But he's going to use people who say yes. And you and I can choose. It's going to be me or no. No, thank you. I'm going to sit on the sidelines and watch. I say to concerning me, not me, not me, not me. I am a vessel that is going to say yes. And I choose. I am interested.
I am interested.
I'm about to put on our sign, interested, Spirit of Faith Family Church. Spirit of Faith Family Church, we're interested in what God's doing. We're interested. We're not sitting on the sidelines saying, Lord, use somebody. When he speaks to us, we're interested. Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
If it's on the other side of the globe, yes, Lord. If it's not something our flesh likes, Lord, you paid the great price for me. It's a delight for me to give you how many of you know he is worthy of an equal return on what he has given to us? That equal return is a delightful, willing obedience that rejoices at the honor of being called to participate. What an honor. What an honor. That's the worthy return that he is due. Amen. How many of you know we need not respond to the will of God sounding like a stuck pig? Or a dying hog. I don't know if you know what a dying hog sounds like. That's the way the Lord said it to me in the hotel room. And he said, whenever you respond and say yes, don't sound like a dying hog. He knew I grew up, and every year my family and some of my aunts and uncles and their families and so forth, we would all get together, and we would usually 3 to 4 hogs. Every January we would butcher them, and we would all process all the meat, you know, and do it all right there on the farm. And we went from on the hoof to in the freezer, you know. But when it come time to, I'm sorry, folks. I mean, that's where your chicken in the grocery store comes from, a dying chicken, you know. But when it came time to kill that hog, man, he sounded like he was dying, and he was dying.
Yeah.
You ever heard a hog that somebody was trying to catch? They do all that. Well, take that and double it, and that's what a dying hog sounds like. Amen. But he said, whenever you respond to me, don't respond sounding like a dying hog.
Yeah. Thank you, that's Jesus. Right. Yeah. No dying hog.
No dying hog.
You know, like, okay, Lord. You know, all grumpy and complaining.
No grumpiness. No grumpiness.
No, I delight to do thy will, O God. I delight to do thy will, O God. Let's put, I didn't know what this is all going to happen tonight. Let's put it toward Abacon. What do you say? That's what it's for. It's for Abacon. Praise the Lord. So I believe it pleases, how many of you believe this, that it pleases God whenever he asks us to do something that he could ask five, how many people are on the earth now? 7 billion people? There are 7 billion people on the earth that he could have asked to do something,
that's right,
and he picked us.
Exactly right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Woo-hoo-hoo. Come on.
The Lord of the universe, the one who flung the stars into space,
yes, sir. Amen.
Said, I'd like you to do something for me. Wow. Me, Lord? Rather than going, oh, man, that'd be hard. It ought to be that it's something that we delight to do. Hallelujah. But listening to some Christians, it sounds like they're close to dying or something whenever God says, would you just work in the helps ministry once a week? I mean, oh, man, that's so hard. Oh, my kids and my job and my... How many of you know too much of that and God will say, you know, never mind. And people don't realize what they missed. They flunked a test. God didn't see just that. He didn't just have that in mind. He had, if they're faithful in that, I'll move them into this, and then I'll move them into this, and then I'll move. And before they know it, they'll be a vessel of glory. They're being used in glorious ways. Amen. Don't ever get lazy, ever, ever, ever. This is the way the Lord said it. Don't ever, 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 ever get lazy about turning down the flesh or the devil's offer for the priceless worth of fulfilling my will. I had said, Pastor Nancy asked us back, when was June last year that we went to Russia? Was that June? I think it was June, and whatever, August, whatever it was. She had asked us if we would come, she invited us to come twice again in 2000, this is 2018. She said, God spoke to me and we're to go, I'm to go twice in 2018 to Russia. She said, the Lord's telling me the doors are going to close over there. We need to get this message into that nation. And so she said to the people that were with, the ministers that she had invited on that trip back last year, she said, you're welcome. I'd like for any of you to come that have it in your heart to come. You know, she's not going to tell us to come. She's just an offer. And so I went and I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And I just, it seemed like at the time, that seemed like twice, you know, that's probably beyond where I was in faith. And so I just told her, we'll go once, you know. The Lord spoke to me in the hotel and said, you didn't say that because I said that. You said that because you just decided that's where you were in faith.
All right.
I'm like, oh, another low blow. How many of you know he's got to knock this stuff out of us if we're going to be vessels of his glory?
That's right. Amen.
You know, looking at the money. That is, Jesus is not you or my Lord if money is making our decisions for us. We can holler Jesus is Lord all we want, but if money's making decisions for us rather than Jesus making the decisions, then listen, he's not Lord. Thank you. That was really a big amen right there. So tomorrow I got to call her and tell her I repent. So praise the Lord. Going to Abacon. Amen. Some people go on and on about the cost or whatever, but I'm going to go on and on about the honor. Amen. Amen. Psalm 40, verse 8. Right there it is. I delight to do thy will, O God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. It's carnal to keep talking about how the price, how big the price is. It's carnal. And it's dishonorable. So consecration has to be done in the spirit, or else it will be always something we're talking about how hard it is. One of the things he'll do by us obeying is he'll make us a vessel of more glory. Turn to this scripture, 1 John 5. 1 John chapter number 5. You getting anything out of this? 1 John chapter number 5. It makes this, in verse number 3 here, it makes this statement. This is the love of God. We keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. Amen. Say that out loud. His commandments are not grievous. Listen to the Amplified. This is the Amplified. Let me get the Amplified open here. It says, rather than His commandments are not grievous, those orders and these orders of His are not irksome, burdensome, oppressive, or grievous. Hallelujah. You know, we don't get irked by them. And we don't talk about the burden. It's my cross to bear. God speaking to me about going to mission field.
Come on. Come on.
Acting like it's a burden.
Yeah. Come on.
Remember, he said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
That's right.
If you and I consecrate to it and do it in the spirit, well, it'll be a delight. And how many of you know, really, you and I aren't pleasing God by being, you know, all irked about it, doing it. Just like your children, whenever you ask them to do something, they just kind of stomp over there and have an attitude. Just something goes all over you, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Yeah, just something goes all over you, and you're like, you march your little fanny right back here, and you change your attitude, and you do it the right way. Isn't that right? Do you think, where do you think we got that as parents? You think that's demonic? That's the devil? That's so mean. Parents are so mean. No. We got that from our Heavenly Father. What He asks us to do is not irksome, but if we make it irksome and all grievy, we're all grieved about it and heavy about it and, you know, unwilling and everything. I'm preaching myself right into conviction tonight, but I'm just going to work myself over. Let God work me over. If we turn it into that, we lose the reward of it, and God will find somebody else. God's will come to pass, but not through us. Amen. Look at that word, irksome, burdensome, notice, oppressive. Amen. We're not to walk around with a cloud over our head talking about, oh, it's so hard to serve God. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? Meditate on how light and easy His burden is. Matthew 10, 28 through 30 talks about it. The will of God's not grievous, so don't listen to the devil and the flesh. He'll turn it into something grievous. You know, you can turn what God says to you into something other than what He said to you. You and I can turn it into something else. So we need to learn not to do that. Amen. Let's talk a little bit about money, why people don't do things about money. Because the Lord was talking to me about this. And if it's good for me, it's good for you. All right, so it's dishonorable when God calls us for us to bring up the money. You realize if He orders it, then He pays for it. And we can just say, great, Lord, thank you. I'll turn the bills over to You. It'll all come to pass. And we cast the care of it onto Him. And, you know, we could say, well, why does God want us to do something that it costs so much or the price is this or something like that? It might just be to get us weaned off of our faith in the money. Although a lot of times He's doing a lot more than that. Amen. God supplies, like I said, all our need according to His riches in glory. But if we don't step out when He speaks to us because of lack or a need, then we don't qualify because we haven't created the need. The supplies for the need. Tell your neighbor the supplies for the need. How do you create the need? You consecrate to the will of God and take steps towards it, and then the supply will show up.
Amen.
You know, the power to walk on water didn't come on Peter sitting back in the boat. The power to walk on water is in that first step out over the edge of the boat. I know you've heard this before, but listen, you can sit, you like me. I'm not just down on you. I'm working myself over here tonight, and you're getting in on it. But you can sit back and you can hear faith preaching, hear faith preaching, hear faith preaching, hear faith, and hear it. And God prompts you, and you go, and you'll always be a mediocre faith person if you never step out. And you'll never see the power of God if you never step out. You always have a mediocre relationship and fellowship with Him. You want to get to know how to walk by faith. You want to learn about how God, how good He is and how faithful He is and so forth and so on. Step on out. Step on out. Like Smith Wigglesworth said, great victories come out of great battles. When the devil's going, you can't. You go, here I go. And the very thing that was totally impossible, here it is coming to pass, possible. Hallelujah. So you got to consecrate. You got to make a firm decision, a quality decision, and say, this is what I'm going to do. I know. I looked at it this way with God in the middle of the night back there in L.A. I looked at it this way with God in the middle of the night. And He said, and I looked at it this way, and I looked at it that way. Finally, I just came to the point, I know it's the will of God. I analyzed why I originally said it. In the spirit, not in my head. Why did I originally say it? The Lord, lay it off on the Lord. The Lord put it in my heart just to go once. Why did I say that? And I went back there and then with God, not in my head, but with God. Why in my heart? Why did I say that? And I thought back there and I thought that really wasn't God spoke to me. I just said, that I said it was God. Well, praise the Lord. You know, we lay things off on God when it was really our head saying, we were choking. Praise God. So we're going. Isn't that good? So He supplies the need whenever we consecrate. We make a quality decision. Say, this is, because I did. I told the Lord, I said, if I tell Pastor Nancy I'm going to go, then that's a quality decision. I'm not backing out of that. So I made sure that I'm doing this in the spirit, not just out of my head. I'm excited about the last time we were there. You know what I'm talking about? Because I'm just coming home from an exciting trip and everything. And I don't want to just make it out of that. I want to make it at a quality decision. I talked it over. I got it all clear in here that this is the will of God. And then once I decided the decision was made, that's a quality decision. Now, let me tell you what a quality decision is. Anybody want to know what a quality decision is? What happened to the time? Has I been preaching that long? That clock is fake news. Yeah, it's 8 hours off, I think. Let me tell you what a quality decision is. Anybody want to know what a quality decision is? It's a decision from which there is no retreat.
Yes, sir.
Now, what you doing? You ought to be writing this down.
Yes, sir.
A quality decision is a decision from which there is no retreat and about which there is no debate. No more thinking about it. No more discussing it. No more deciding if this is really what I'm going to do. That's what a quality decision is. It's settled.
Yeah, settled.
It'll never be changed.
Never be changed.
Amen.
You understand what I'm talking about? That's called consecration. That's called consecration. And so a good quality decision is a decision from which there is no retreat and about which there is no debate. Hallelujah. And when you get to that place, that's the kind of decision you make, the funding will start showing up. It'll start showing up. It'll start showing up. And you start taking steps, saying, okay, yeah, get the ticket. Get us tickets. We'll get all the paperwork. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm thrilled. Tell your neighbor it's thrilling to walk with God. It's thrilling to walk with God. Hallelujah. So step out when God speaks to you. Step out. People holler about great faith and so forth and so on, but what I'm talking about tonight separates the men from the boys and the girls from the women. A lot of dry boat sitters talking about how great they are in faith. Well, tell your neighbor, I'm still happy to be here tonight. This is why some people don't want to live close enough to God where they actually hear Him speak to them about His will. Because they're comfortable. Their flesh is comfortable. You know, just leave well enough alone, God. I'm happy. Just, you know, that's what I was kind of living like here in Cedar Rapids. I'm just leave well enough. It's all good here. Praise the Lord. It's just wonderful here. We woohoo. People love us. I mean, God's given us a ranch and we're going to build a nice house. Oh, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I want to talk to you about doing some other things. Blah, 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 blah. Just leave well enough alone, Jesus. Can't you see? I'm happy. I'm happy. I'm happy. And He's saying, I got more for you than you even have in mind for yourself. You might not realize it, but I'm not just talking about Albacon. I'm talking about a change inside concerning a lot of things in ministry for us. Doors open. Boom, we're going. How are we going to get into the next phase? Sitting back.
No, sir.
Yeah, you're getting it. Yeah, amen. Praise the Lord. Got to fight for the will of God. It won't be automatic.
Yes, sir.
Amen. In order to get into the best, remember Pastor Nancy brought something up the Lord was talking to her about. Remember, Elijah had a protege named Elisha. Yeah. And he was training him up to be prophet. And he said, at the end, Elisha said, I want a double portion. Elijah said, ask what you will, you remember? And Elisha said, I want a double portion of your anointing. And remember, he said, you've asked a hard thing. Uh-huh. Yeah. Pastor Nancy said the Lord spoke to her about that. I never fully understood what that meant. You've asked a hard thing. She said the Lord spoke to her about that and said, it's not hard for me. How many of you know giving somebody a double anointing, double portion of the anointing than somebody else had? That's not hard for God. You understand what that means? It's not hard for God. The hard thing is that you'll have to be hard on your mind and your body. See, I can tell when people aren't getting it. You've asked a hard thing. In other words, this won't come because you live fleshy, unconsecrated, carnal, grumpy about what he speaks to you to do. It's only a hard thing because you're going to have to be hard on the flesh to get into that. You understand? You have to be a strict, disciplined approach to your mind and your body. They don't get their way. I said, they don't get their way. I said, they don't get their way. Amen. But the point is, we don't go around talking about the hardness. We just live in the Spirit, and we live the consecrated life.
Amen.
It's light and easy, isn't it?
Yes,
hallelujah. All right, so we're going to close for the night. I said we're going to close for the night. I've heard ministers in years gone by and previous generations and so forth, they have a great, powerful anointing in ministry, and they talk about, this has cost me everything. And there's a truth there, but there's also a whine in their voice.
Right. Yes, sir. Yep.
It is a great honor.
Uh-huh. Yes. Amen. Amen.
To put all on the altar of sacrifice, to say yes to the plan of God when our flesh and mind didn't really have that in mind. Hello. Hello. Praise the Lord. There is a price to pay, but sometimes when you hear some of those statements, you listen down inside your spirit and say, there's something not quite right about that. There's like a whine in their voice. And it didn't please him to God. I don't believe that's pleasing to God. So we will have to crucify the flesh. But let's do it with joy. Hebrews 12, 1 through 2. Lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us and let us run. If it requires us to lay something aside in order to obey God, so be it.
Amen.
So be it.
That's right. So be it.
And we do it without a tear in our voice.
Thank
you. We don't sound like a dying hog, like the Lord said to me. Amen. We're like, woohoo. See, he's not taking something from us. I said, he's not taking something from us. Actually, if you know God, he's just having us sow a seed. Sow a seed for bigger things. That's exactly what he's doing. I said, that's exactly what he's doing. There's more to the success of great men of God who have gone before us than just their faith. You know, these men we honor so much, how God greatly used them. There's more to their success than just faith. Consecration was a big part of their lives. Their whole life belonged to God. They gave their all to God, and God was able to fill them with all that he had. Amen. How many of you know God's plan moves forward with people who are like that? And that's us. Tell your neighbor, he's talking about us tonight. Whatever it is. See, we don't have to be, you know, whatever I don't know that God wants me to do in the future, I'm consecrating. No, just consecrate right now. Just whatever's before you right now, right now, whatever it is he's dealing with you about, just say, this is consecrated to God. This, I consecrate to bring this to pass. This is God's will for me. Or if it's just simply tithing, if it's just simply doing something, being faithful on a service that you didn't want to go to or something. You had something else in mind. Amen. Just whatever's right before you. Don't be all worried about the future. I said, don't be all worried about the future. Well, if I do this, what's God going to have me do in the future? Well, just consecrate right now. The future will take care of itself. And when you get there, you can consecrate there, whatever that is. You know, consecration is not something you do one time. It's something that we do over and over. It's a lifestyle. Hallelujah.
If you would like more information about Pastor Jay Eberle's ministry, please visit us on the web at sofffc.org or call us at 319-366-2147, or you can write to us at Spirit of Faith Family Church, Post Office Box 8355, Cedar Rapids, Iowa, 52408. And remember, God loves you, and you're equipped to live victoriously in every area of life.